Welcome, everybody, to the 12th installment of the Bay Area Sports Talk Show with Cody Rodriguez. I am your host, Cody Rodriguez, and today's, and this is the only source this Monday evening to hear of a teenager bitch and whine about Bay Area Sports. I am your host, Cody Rodriguez, and it was probably, this week was probably had to be the worst weekend ever for Bay Area sports fans, in my opinion, with the Warriors and the Sharks both losing both their games this weekend. It was just horrendous. I think it was probably the worst weekend since the Niners lost on Sunday. And, you know, everyone's pushing the panic button, like always, saying fire Todd McClellan or the Warriors are not going to be able to go to the playoffs because they're choking it. Give it. I'm still a believer that both teams will make the playoffs. But they're really making me look like a fucking, like, they're making me look like a total jackass when I'm saying don't push the panic button. They'll win the next two games, and then they end up going 0-4 the whole weekend. I'm just sitting there. I'm like, well, I thought they were good. So hopefully sooner or later everything turns around and the Warriors and the Sharks get their shit together and they go into playoffs, and hopefully it's a good start. We have on tap today some Sharks recaps and previews, along with some more recaps and previews. But we also have, we'll probably get into this right now, some breaking news that happened not too long ago, probably 3-2 hours ago. With the NFL trading, whatever you want to call it, business thing, starting tomorrow, 1 o'clock our time, the NFL, there is some key trades that are going on right now, but it won't be official till tomorrow. That's the thing. Earlier this morning, the Seahawks announced that they have acquired Percy Harvin from the Minnesota Vikings for a first-round draft pick, which is okay. That puts the Niners on the spotlight saying, your guys' next move, what are you guys going to do? You know, that puts the Niners in that situation, you know. And the way the Seahawks played last year with Russell Wilson and everything, and you put Percy Harvin out there, personally, in my opinion, there's no way you're going to be able to stop the Seahawks with the wide receivers and the running backs that they have, the offensive depth that they have, also along with the defense, too. The cornerbacks, the safeties were excellent last year with the Seahawks. But also, too, later on when the Niners heard that, the Niners said, all right, it's our turn. So the Niners announced that they have also acquired Anquan Boldin from the Baltimore Ravens, but for a cheaper price than the Seahawks got Percy Harvin for. The Niners got Anquan Boldin for a six-round draft pick. Just a six-round draft pick. That is about five picks lesser than the Seahawks. And I think that might be that's probably the perfect trade bid right there, because Anquan Boldin, he's a little old. He's getting there. And also, too, that, you know, he was pretty key clutch in the postseason last year with 22 catches and 380 yards and 4 touchdowns in the postseason, including a 6-catch, 104-yard, and a touchdown performance in the Super Bowl, helped the Ravens basically in the playoffs and also in the Super Bowl. And I think, you know, the Niners getting Anquan Boldin, I think you basically have a good team with Vernon Davis out there and Michael Crabtree out there, that the Niners will be unstoppable too in the NFC. Because you're not gonna have Randy Moss anymore, so you're not gonna have a bunch of passes that are dropped or going over the head or anything. You actually have a good receivable catcher who actually led the Ravens in receiving yards for the past three seasons. So basically, you have a good enough wide receiver to put a stepping stone on, even though he's getting at the age where he can retire any year. He is at the point where he could lead your team still to a Super Bowl victory, which I still think, with the Niners getting Anquan Boldin and maybe the Niners getting Revis, maybe, from the Jets, that you have yourself a Super Bowl contender, maybe a Super Bowl winner in odds, really, honestly. Because the Ravens are now going to be screwed defending champions, because Joe Flacco, he would throw almost all his passes except for Torrey Smith, he would throw them to Anquan Boldin. And now with Anquan Boldin gone, who is he going to throw to? He's going to throw to Torrey Smith. You're put yourself in that situation, and I don't think the Ravens have enough for a six-month pick. I don't think you could get yourself a good enough wide receiver as Anquan Boldin. So I think that was a good move for the Niners. Also, too, you have Alex Smith being traded probably tomorrow to the Kansas City Chiefs. And, you know, with the Niners getting Bolden, I think you have yourself some good wide receivers out there with Crabtree, Davis at the tight end, obviously, and you have Bolden out there, too. So, good stuff coming from the Niners. Can't wait to see how he comes up as the Niners. Nothing from the Raiders, of course. No one wants to go to Oakland. No one ever wants to come to Oakland. All right, so let's do some Sharks and Warriors recaps from the past weekend. The Sharks played Saturday and Sunday, as the Warriors played Friday and Saturday. So we're going to start with the San Jose Sharks right now. The Sharks played against the Blues in San Jose. It's an early matinee game. It was Niemi versus Allen once again in San Jose. In the first period, off to a good start for the St. Louis Blues. Not for the Sharks. Never for the Sharks. But the St. Louis Blues, Sobotka scores his fifth goal of the season at the 15-minute mark, making it a 1-0 St. Louis game. But with 5 minutes left into that first period, Logan Couture comes in and saves the day like he always does, making it a 1-1 game, scoring his ninth goal. Penalties were 2-1 San Jose. Shots and goal went 7-12 St. Louis, and the score was 1-1 at the first period. You're sitting here, you're like, okay, maybe we're good. Maybe we're home. We're against the Blues. We might be able to win. And the thing is, every game is sort of a key game that you need to win because the points are so close from fourth to, like, ninth that you lose a couple games and you're gone out of the picture in the playoffs. You know, it's that close. But we'll get into that in a second. Second period, finally, Scott Gomes is on a hot streak right now from what I'm seeing. He has scored his second goal of the season, making it at the 12-minute mark, making it a 2-1 game. And then suddenly, 3 minutes left, Matt Irwin scores from, shoots a slap shot, basically, and makes it a 3-1 on the power play. On the power play again, guys. The Sharks have been pretty good on the power play so far, making that a 3-1 game. And the Sharks are looking good so far. You know, you have the home crowd, everyone's pumped up, the Sharks are winning 3-1. There's nothing that could go wrong right now. There's nothing that could go right now. Until we get to the third period. Now, I mentioned Sobotka. I think that's how you say his name. I have no clue. This is the reason why I can never do hockey announcements, but I can do baseball and football and basketball like it's nothing, because those are freaking English names. But you have, like, Sobotka and freaking, I don't know. But Sobotka scored in the first period. He also scored two more times in the third period. He tied the game for the St. Louis Blues against Niemi. And basically, once Sobotka scored his hat trick goal, the power play goal to top it all off, making it 3-3, 14 minutes left in the game, Niemi was pulled, and they pulled in Stalak from the bench and they put in there. And we don't know if he was injured or what was going on at the time, but Stalak was in. He was looking crisp and sharp in the third period. But then when overtime comes, Berglund comes in with the 12th goal of his season, making it a 4-3 game. It was over. The Sharks lost the Saturday. And, you know, it wasn't like it was 1-1 and or it was Stalak's fault. But, you know, him being out there at the last second, you know, he wasn't really into the game. You know, he had a defender on top of him, too, so he couldn't really see. So, I don't see it being Stalak's fault. But then again, I don't know. It's been so frustrating to watch the Sharks lately. But, you know, I don't know. It's just, and wait till we get to the second game, which is Sunday at Colorado. It was, Niemi was back out there, so he wasn't injured. Versus, I have no clue how to say this guy's name either. So we're not going to say his name either. But in the first period, 13 minutes into the game, power play goal scored by Duchesne of the Colorado Avalanche, making it his 10th goal of the season, making it a 1-0 Colorado game. And you're sitting there saying, here we go again. Maybe Niemi is the problem. Maybe he is. Because, I don't know, maybe it's the defense too. Maybe it's just the offense isn't scoring. So, I don't know. It's just, the Sharks are just going, it's like that one game on Price is Right when you just seen, beginning of the season, we were going up the hill, but then now it's like we just fell off the hill. We're just falling off the cliff right now. And the Sharks just can't catch a break right now. And it's showing, obviously. And in the second period, O'Reilly scores the second goal of the season to make it a 2-0 Colorado. And you're sitting there, and we're just crossing our hands saying, this is total bullshit. There's no way the Sharks should be this bad. But Patrick Marleau comes in, finally. Haven't seen Patrick Marleau in a long time. And he comes up with 40 seconds left in the second period, scoring his 400th goal of the season. Not the season, but his career. God, it would be funny if he scored 400 goals in a season. 400 goals in his career. That's his 400th goal, keystone, really. And, you know, this puts the Sharks at a 2-1 at the end of the second period. Shots on goal with San Jose 16 to Colorado 9. And, you know, it's been going back and forth with shots on goal. And, you know, the penalty situation for San Jose has been tough. Basically, San Jose had more I think San Jose was basically tied, or not tied, but one off from Colorado on penalties. But it's been a tough situation for San Jose, because most of these goals that are being given were power play goals, with the Duchesne one in the first period, and then some of them from Saturday's game against the Blues. And, you know, it's just showing that the power play can kill you, and it is really killing the Sharks right now. Third period in, and 3 minutes left into the game, you know, you're thinking all hope is gone, but Logan Couture, like I said, saved the game once again, making it a 2-2 game, ties it up for the third period, sending us to overtime, scoring his 10th goal of the season. But then, sure enough, at the last second, remember Duchesne? I remember Duchesne. He was in the first period. Remember he scored his goal? Well, he scored again in overtime with 1 second left, literally, making his 11th goal, second of the night, and giving the Sharks his 3-2 overtime loss. And if there's anything worse than a loss, it's got to be an overtime loss, because you have a chance. You have a chance. You're tied, but you get a point out of it. But this whole weekend, you're getting 2 points out of four that were possible against teams that you could have beat. Like, Colorado is a team you should beat if you're this good of a San Jose team. Or St. Louis, you know, you beat them last time. Why can't you beat them this time? Especially at home. You know, the Sharks are known for playing at home, having a good home record home, putting the pressure on the away team at home. And it hasn't been showing recently. So I don't know if I should be pushing the panic button right now. It's just say, after this weekend's performance, I am pressing the panic button nonstop on both teams. I am joining the crowd. I am pushing the panic button. I'm not hashtag tweeting Fire McClellan or hashtag Sharks are fucked. But I am pushing the panic button because, you know, if the Sharks keep playing like this, there is no doubt we aren't gonna make the playoffs. Or if we do make the playoffs, we're out in the first round, in my opinion, because of the way, if you see how this team is just performing recently defensively. And most likely, offensively, it's embarrassing. So, I wish I could say, answer happier news, but we're going to talk about the Golden State Warriors. So, I don't know if there is, I don't know if there's really anything so happy about the Warriors. I mean, I don't know. Let me find the scores. I forgot to put the scores in, because I'm freaking mental. Okay, so Houston had 94, Golden State had, this is why I put in the scores on the period, just in case I'm a total jackass and forget what the score was. Yeah, okay, so I got it. So that was Golden State 18. So let's talk about Houston versus Golden State at Golden State, you know, Warriors. Or just got off a 2-game win streak on the week against the Sacramento Kings, which was a pretty ugly win, but, you know, we'll take it. And a game Monday night against the Toronto Raptors, which was a pretty good game. I liked what we saw against the Raptors, but I did not like what I saw against the Houston Rockets. Score-wise, it was going back and forth. It was going back and forth, 2-2. But let's just get right into it. 30-21 Golden State in the first quarter. 29-18 for Houston in the second. 28-23 third for Golden State. But here's the thing that might have killed the Warriors the most is there's a 21-12 Houston in the fourth quarter. And, you know, Golden State only scoring 12 points in the fourth quarter is not going to help you win a game. So, I mean, games going back and forth, like I said, and basically with the Warriors losing, not only do they, not only the two-game win streak snap, but also, too, it gets Houston one game closer to the Warriors, which we don't want. And I mentioned Friday's podcast that in order for the Warriors to win, they needed to keep Harden off the board and keep Jennings now off the board, too, against Milwaukee. Harden had 20 points, and I'll get into Jennings in a second, but Harden had 20 points, and, you know, that's not really what I said. You're supposed to keep Harden off the board, and if Harden's scoring 20 points, there's no doubt we're going to lose to that. Curry had 24 points, and Klay has 22 points, but they can't be the only ones playing. Where's David Lee? Where's Jared Jack? Especially where's Jared Jack? Jared Jack has been a contender for Sixth Man of the Year to the past 2 weeks being the most, like, unreliable player off the bench that I've been seeing so far. No points whatsoever. Basically, he's hitting points from the 13th to 12th range, and he's not scoring like he used to at the 31 points, 32 points, whatever. He's not doing that. And that's the Jared Jack that we're used to. That's the Jared Jack we had confidence in, and that's the Jared Jack that we had a lot of hope in. When he comes off the bench, he gives you that presence that the game might be okay. The bench will score some buckets. Not going to happen then. It hasn't happened lately. So, yeah, that was the Golden State-Houston game. Let's go with the Golden State-Milwaukee. Okay, let's see. Milwaukee had 24-23, 30, and 26, which equals. So, well, holy shit. Milwaukee had 103 points versus Golden State, who had, it wasn't 103. I'm, well, disappointed. 20... 22, 23, 93. Wow, holy crap. Yeah, that seems right. So, Milwaukee beat Golden State, as you just heard right now, as I'm doing the math. 93-103, Milwaukee won. You know, Milwaukee basically controlled the whole game. You know, it's outscoring the Warriors 3-1 in the 3-1 quarters. Golden State I've been preaching, they did what I was preaching, is have a good start. But they didn't keep it up like I'm always preaching. Warriors went 28-24 in the first quarter. But here we go. Second quarter, 23-20 to Milwaukee. Okay, not bad. 30-22 Milwaukee in the third quarter. Okay, that's not what I want. That's not really what I want. 26-23 Milwaukee in the fourth quarter. So, I mean, that's not really what you want to see from the Warriors, is that the other team's outscoring you. Not by a lot, but just by a little. And that's to keep the lead. And that's what it shows. That's why we lost by 10 points. And if you think if the Warriors did a little bit more, not only from the fourth quarter, but maybe the third quarter, you know, we could have won that game. Also, too, if they freaking controlled Ben and Jennings, who got 31 points and had a season-high 6 three-pointers. God, that is not what I told everyone. Everyone heard me. I said the Warriors have to contain Brandon Jennings and James Harden to win this game. And, you know, involved with Brandon Jennings, Monte Ellis, you know, coming back to Golden State, had 26 points. That's not what I've been saying. The defense is just not there, obviously, with 31 points for Jennings, 26 points for Monte. And, you know, maybe we lost because David Lee wasn't in the lineup. Maybe we can say that. But with Carl Landry scoring, like, 18 points, you know, and that was the team high, along with Klay. Klay had 18 points. Everyone else, like Curry, had 13 points. And, you know, if you're doing that, of course you're going to lose, you know. But I think if Carl Landry if David Lee was in there, maybe we would have won that game. But, you know, Carl Landry come from starting for David Lee, scoring 18 points, a team high. To top it all off, I think that's pretty good. I have Carl Landry. Now, Carl Landry is a six-man of the year award candidate. That's a six-man, not Jared Jack. And you know, I'll probably get into that to Friday's show. Have a little segment about that. Go off from my perspective. But I think, personally, Carl Landry is your six-man of the year. Just saying. All right, so let's do a couple week previews, and then we're gonna end the show off on a positive note. Some hope, maybe. Start with the Golden State Warriors this time. Warriors, as the rest of the conference standings stand right now, the fifth place Denver Nuggets are 6.5 games behind from first place. Warriors are 13.5 back. Houston is one game behind the Golden State Warriors. And surprisingly, the LA Lakers are now two games behind the Golden State Warriors. And the Lakers are on a three-game winning streak. They play the Warriors play Monday against the New York Knicks and Wednesday versus the Detroit Pistons. They should take Detroit. New York would be one of those games. I think with Carmelo out, the Warriors might have a chance. But, you know, we have to see how your home and the home crowd will be there for sure. It will be sold out because the Knicks are in town. Everyone wants to see the Knicks. So I think the Warriors might have a chance at winning Monday's game. Detroit on Wednesday for sure. You know, at this point, every game counts. As it goes for both teams, for the Sharks and for the Warriors. So if you look at the Warriors right now, you could lose one game and Houston win another game, and now suddenly you're tied. You're tied for a sixth seed, you know. This is how much of how close it is from the sixth seed to the eighth seed, and or the ninth seed, too. But the fifth seed is so gone away. So now you have the Warriors. What's going to be in the Warriors' head is sixth seed or nothing right now at this point. You go for the sixth seed. Start winning some games. Start winning games that count. This New York Knicks game, this Detroit game, they all count. Especially with the Lakers who won a three-game winning streak so far. And they'll just keep going up and up and up and up with the Warriors losing. And with Houston off doing on and off too. You never know what Houston will do from what I'm seeing. And like I said, watch out for the LA Lakers because suddenly from out of nowhere, Dwight Howard and Kobe Bryant are connecting. They're actually not bickering enough, you know. And, you know, you just got to watch out. And so I predict for this week, I'm going, like I always do. Actually, no, I'm going to go 1-1. I'm going to go 1-for-1. They're going to lose. I think the Warriors are going to lose against the New York Knicks, but they'll win against the Detroit Pistons. That's how I predict it. And, yeah, so that's how I see that. Let's go do some Shark previews. Let me get to my paper. Blah, blah, blah. There we go. Shark game previews. So far, the Sharks are in the seventh seed of the West, but they're tied also with the Los Angeles Kings, the Vancouver Canucks, and the St. Louis Blues, who are 5th, 6th, and 8th seed. So basically, like I said, from the 4th seed down, 4th seed to the 9th seed, basically, it is so tight, you lose a couple games, you're out. And like I said, one loss could cost the Sharks easily. And you know what? If you said to yourself, I really want to watch St. Louis play again against the Sharks, well, lucky you, Tuesday night they will be playing at St. Louis, which is a key game. Like I said, St. Louis is tied with the Sharks for the 8th seed, the 6th seed, really, but Sharks lose that game, they're going all the way down to the 10th seed, most likely, and out of the playoff picture. But if they do win that game, they might go to 5th or 4th. Who knows? But if the Sharks need to win these two games, in my opinion, Tuesday at San Jose at St. Louis, and then Thursday is the first game against the defending Stanley Cup champions, Los Angeles Kings, who are in 5th place. The Sharks need to grow some fucking balls. I'm saying that right now. They need to grow some balls and play to win. They need to play to win the game. But I'm being serious. They need to win, start winning games. And, you know, these are two key games for the Sharks this week. Both these teams that they're playing are in the playoff picture along with them, tied to top all off. You lose these two games, you can count the playoff season off. And I'm saying that right now. I'll put this on there right now. If the Sharks lose these two games, they're gone. I'm not going to have no hope for the playoffs, no whatsoever, because you are so far behind from these two teams going on forward. You're so far behind, it's not even funny. And even if you get to the playoffs, you might be in the 8th seed by then, and you're facing against a very tough Chicago Blackhawks team. So my prediction is, I'm saying a win. I'm going against my gut again. I'm saying a win against St. Louis. I'm saying a win against LA since they're in home since they are in San Jose against LA. So at 2-0 for the week, I am predicting against the LA Kings and the St. Louis Blues. Hopefully you guys won't freaking strangle me if both teams lose all two games because of my predictions. But besides that, that is going to be the end of the show today. I'm going to recap it. I'm going to close it off. I'm going to go to class. I'm pretty tired. But, you know, just make sure, thank you guys for listening. Make sure to spread the word out. What else? I have no clue what else to say. There's nothing else to really say. So, I'll be talking to you guys later this week on Friday with the Fridays a Week or Show. Hopefully, everything is a lot better for the Bay Area, with both teams. And, you know, with the Sharks, with the Warriors, with the Niners, hopefully some Raider news comes up. I'm really praying for some Raider news. And also, too, baseball opening week is in 3 weeks. 3 weeks away, guys. So, baseball talk is about to be back. And, besides that, I'll be talking to you guys later on Friday. So, besides that, thank you guys for listening, and...